Hello and welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. This, as you should know by now, is your daily appointment with our international critics and cultural experts about the shows to see, the books to read and the records to stick on repeat each week. Today, Lizzie White, Liars magazine editor David Jenkins is in the studio with me to review some of the week's best releases, including Home, the latest from DreamWorks Animation, and Isao Takahata's Oscar-nominated film, The Tale of the Princess Kaguya. Plus, the man who brought us Taken is back with his next action-packed thriller, The Gunman. That's all to come here on The Arts Review. Stay tuned. So, David, welcome to The Arts Review.
Hey there.
And you've chosen two animated films.
Yes, it's a big week for animation.
Non-animated. A big week for... And it's interesting that the two you've chosen are not the big one that everyone is talking about. The possible elephant in the room, if we can call it that. The elephant in... Or inside the elephant's head, as it were.
Ah, indeed.
Inside Out from Pixar, which is still to come.
Yes, that's something I think we'll have to look forward to in the summer, but I'm sure we'll be, hyped up in the coming weeks.
Indeed, and Pixar and DreamWorks have had a bit of a battle over the last 15 years as to which one is top dog. And frankly, it's not sort of Reebok versus Nike, because there is a clear winner in this every time, and it's Pixar.
I think it's more of a Coke versus Pepsi.
Yes,
I think DreamWorks maybe has a different agenda to Pixar, and you know they're after different things, after different audiences, and I think maybe it's better that the two are actually making different things, different products, and making a different name for themselves. And you know, I think despite the fact that, you know, DreamWorks, maybe some of their movies are a little bit artistically less and creatively less fine and great, but you know they
still do a job.
They still do a job. They connect to an audience. They've, you know, people know what their brand are and what they're getting with them, I guess.
Let's take a look then at, let's discuss DreamWorks' new film. It's called Home. Let's talk about it first. Then we're going to play a clip, because the clip will make more sense.
Yeah,
Talk about it.
Well, yeah, it's the latest addition to the DreamWorks corpus. It's sort of reeks a little bit of desperation, really. There seems to...
You're selling this.
Yeah. I don't want to be too harsh, but like, yeah, it almost feels a bit more like an algorithm than a film. Like, you've got the, the Minions from...
Is it Despicable Me?
Despicable Me, yeah.
The little yellow things.
Yeah, the little yellow Minions from Despicable Me, who are getting their own spin-off film this summer as well, which
Great.
Is going to be massive. This looks like a kind of attempt to sort of get in on the Minion action before the Minions get in
right.
on the Minion action.
Okay.
So you have it's an animated sort of semi sci-fi adventure about an alien race called the Boov.
Okay.
No reason for that name, really. Just
no.
A makey uppy.
Spelled B-O-O-V.
Yeah, indeed. The Boov, not Boov.
Sorry. Yes.
And so they are a race of scaredy cat aliens who are constantly moving around, colonizing planets, and their foes catch up to them, and then they move on to the next one. And the film opens with them seeing Earth and deciding to colonize it. And the main character we're following is one called O. And he's voiced by Jim Parsons. Did the name ring a bell?
No.
He's the guy who plays Sheldon on Big Bang Theory.
You
must know
that.
It.
I know. I see it every now and then. I think I'm not flicking over. I've never been interested. Is it worth my time?
No.
Okay,
God, no.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's all, you know, if you
there,
turn
there
the
are,
TV on,
bigger,
it's
yeah.
always on.
There are bigger names in this as well. Rihanna, Steve Martin, and weirdly Jennifer Lopez. And Rihanna plays a character called Tip,
yes.
I'm reliably told. Let's play a little clip now. This is Tip taking on the Boov.
Drop the bubble guns, or I will mess with this gravity thingy.
She's bluffing. She could not possibly reach the gravity thingy. Oh, curse you and your tippy-toe tallness. But no problem. Boov technology is far too complicated for simple humans, girl, to figure out.
Excuse me?
She figured it out! Run for my life!
That was Steve Martin there playing Captain Smek. They've had fun with the names at least, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they have. Tip apparently is short for gratuity, apparently. That's an American name.
Seriously?
Yeah, the character is called Gratuity.
Wow.
Tip for short.
That probably made sense at some stage in the process, didn't it? Okay. There we are. So it hasn't had the greatest of reviews, has it?
It comes out on Friday, and it's one of those movies that hasn't been previewed a lot, and that not many people have written about it so far. And, you know, I guess people will sort of hedge their bets with it, and, you know, take it. It'll be a kind of family, you know, school holiday movie that will do really well, you know, with families looking to take their kids to the cinema.
Pity the poor parents who have to go and see it.
Indeed.
Anyway, that's Home, the latest from DreamWorks Animation. If you must, you can go and see it. Let's stick with animation, but hopefully of an all together far superior kind. We head over to Japan. This is The Tale of the Princess Kaguya. It was nominated for Best Animated Feature at this year's Oscars. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, I mean, this is as far away from Home as you could possibly get. I mean, it's almost a kind of reverse side of the coin. It's the latest and, you know, possibly one of the last films to be made by Studio Ghibli, the Tokyo-based animation house. It's directed by Isao Takahata, who is one of the two main directors there alongside Hayao Miyazaki.
This is the first one that Miyazaki hasn't been involved with, isn't it?
He's involved in everything in a kind of peripheral way, but I mean, Takahata is probably the main other director who does his own things at Ghibli, whereas Miyazaki, you know, I think tends to have a hand in most things. But this one's based on an ancient Japanese folktale, apparently the oldest prose narrative in Japanese history, called The Tale of the Bamboo Cutter. It's Takahata's first film since 1999, and he made this movie called Our Neighbors the Yamadas, and that was a movie inspired by a little-known newspaper cartoon in Japan. So he chooses these very kind of local, colloquial subject matters and tries to sort of explode them out and look at how they're kind of universal.
Let's hear a little bit of it.
That kid's weird. She grows fast, like bamboo.
Have you gotten bigger again?
Yeah? You think so?
I have heard the rumors about her.
If disobedience to His Majesty is considered a crime punishable by death, well then, the only choice is to kill me.
There we are. It's The Tale of the Princess Kaguya. Our culture editor, Rob Bound, came back from a screening of this, absolutely raving about it. It's obviously done very well in terms of critical support. It was nominated, as we said, for an Academy Award. Originally, though, it didn't make that much money at the box office in Japan.
No, I mean, you can kind of tell why. I mean, it's quite a long film, and it's something that is not directed for a kind of specific family audience, or a mass audience. In fact, I mean, it's designed in this kind of hand drawn watercolor style, which it, you know, makes it look more of a sort of objet d'art than a sort of commercial movie. So I guess it would be a harder one to market than the sort of standard Studio Ghibli film, which is a very sort of distinct, defined style where you know a little bit more about of what you're going to get. Whereas I think Takahata within Studio Ghibli is much more adept at trying out different styles and different modes of creation. And possibly people thought it was a little bit off-piste from the usual kind of Studio Ghibli fare, but no, it's a wonderful movie.
We mentioned Pixar before and talked about how, you know, they do very serious films with really interesting proper subjects, you know, whether that's Up or Wall-E or, you know, what seems to be the new with Inside Out. And yet there doesn't seem to be in the US the sort of, if you like, the animated version of independent cinema that almost you seem to have in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pixar are probably the closest thing to it. I mean, there is, I think,
and yet that, it's Disney owned, and it's they're blockbusters.
Yeah, I guess that Disney does have this arm for experimentation and, you know, cultivating these animation houses that are producing these very distinct brands of animation. I guess that in the US, this, the equivalent of like indie animation are things that aren't really directed at family audiences. I can't think of examples.
It's
come to my head at the moment. But yeah, I mean, animations, I guess, is such a sort of money-making enterprise now that, I mean, it would be really tough to do something that was deemed, you know, not saleable, I guess.
The Tale of the Princess Kaguya is about to be released here in the UK, as well as Brazil, Turkey, and various other countries in Europe. Finally, something very, very different. The Gunman, the latest action thriller from Pierre Morel, who directed the first Taken movie. The first and, frankly, the best. Anyone who's sat through Taken 3, you know, I feel sorry for you. Before we hear your view, David, on this, and also Taken 3, here's a little clip. This is the moment where Idris Elba's character, Dupont, meets Jim Terrier, or Sean Penn, for the first time.
You ever have one of those days when every law is Murphy's Law? Everything's going wrong and everybody wants to kill you for something. You know, my wife's been on me for weeks now to finish this treehouse in the garden for the kids, you know? One bloody tree and about 30 inches where I can get the ladder in before I run into my wife's garden. You a tourist?
Something like that.
Got some heavy shit going on up there today.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. One of the companies in that building got a surprise visit from Interpol. You know Interpol?
Idris Elba there with a rather gruff and almost silent Sean Penn. Sean Penn, action hero, does it work?
I think so. Although, from reading some of the early reviews of this film, I seem to be, you know, like the film, a lone gunner.
Right.
Yeah, I was really taken by this film. I think it's definitely superior to something like Taken 3, which is so bad that it makes me want to weep. This is by this director, Pierre Morel, who kicked off the Taken franchise, and I definitely think he's a sort of superior genres director. He knows his way around these movies, what works. He kind of directs with a real sense of flair. I think Sean Penn, he does this kind of neat, you know, Charles Bronson, middle-aged macho man thing, you know, rather well, actually. And it kind of taps into the whole kind of Sean Penn mystique, as well as being sort of a little bit taciturn and gruff and, you know, hard to deal with. And it's a good movie, I think.
Okay, it's got some other names in it that again, it wouldn't surprise you to be in a film like this, as well as Idris Elba, Javier Bardem, Ray Winston. Aside from Sean Penn in his sort of slightly different role, do any of these other stars do anything surprising at all, or is this Ray Winston as Ray Winston?
I mean, it's Ray Winston as Ray Winston. He's introduced in an East End boozer,
right?
And there's a bit of a dust up because someone spills his pint,
right?
You know? So I mean, we're in a certain territory here, but Javier Bardem plays this kind of NGO worker who steals away Sean Penn's girlfriend from him, and is kind of introduced as the antagonist, but might not be. And he kind of, you know, it's like he's giving this Oscar, you know, quite big performance in a very small role. And it really sort of gives this movie some real dramatic heft, you know. You know, it's just fun to watch him on screen, you know.
Is it one of those films that would just be a normal sort of run of the mill thriller, but actually has one great performance in it, which then makes it just something very different?
Oh no, I think most of the performances are quite great. I mean, Sean Penn's good in what he does, and I mean, I think the thing that really lifts this up beyond a kind of what you might call a sort of watch on an airplane movie is the fact that it's just really beautifully directed. That Pierre Morel has this really amazing sense of space and geography, and you get, you know, when there are these action sequences that he kind of executes in a way where you know where you are, you know where the antagonists are, you know where Sean Penn is, and you just get a real feel that you're in there in the room, and it's, you know, it's, they're really tense.
We'd be watching Gunman 2.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you have the feeling that this is set up for, you know, a Taken style sort of, there'll be the second or third.
I guess we get a bit bored. I mean, I guess it's one of those movies. I mean, this is actually based on a sort of 70s crime novel, so there is a sort of precedent for it. I don't believe the writer made a sequel to it, but I guess it's all down to if the numbers add up, then
yeah.
I feel I've sounded quite cynical.
No,
back to box office. I don't care about box office.
I know, but it has obviously, you know, an impact, and it is, you know, at the end of the day, it is an industry. It's, and if they want to make a second, if the first one makes money.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, if I'm sure Sean Penn would want to do them if they're, you know, helping him make sort of more esoteric directorial projects, which I believe he's doing.
There we are, whether that's something to celebrate or not. I'll leave that to you. David Jenkins, editor of Little White Lies magazine, thank you very much indeed. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. Our producer was Holly Fisher, and the researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We'll be back on Monday. The art newspaper's Charlotte Burns will be telling us the exhibitions we should keep an eye on next week. But for the time being, thanks for listening and have a great weekend.